chat. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive on mic. Just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share. That same type of feeling when you're feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Make sure you guys check out the antimedia.org. That's our website. I'm joined by my co-host, DB Schwartz. How's it going, bro?
Doing good, Nick. Doing good. Just watching the ramp up of all this basically social upheaval worldwide. And it's funny, like, while everybody's looking for a missing plane and watching all these things unravel between Ukraine and everything, all these massive sweeping changes have taken place in Europe nobody even really knows about.
Yeah, man, it's almost like the European Union is like the Hitler of new. And, you know, the scary thing that I'm starting to see, and I just saw this article come out about in France, part of this article is positive. Apparently 60% of the people, the voters in France, are rejecting the mainstream parties, which is like them rejecting the Republicans and Democrats here, for instance. But the problem is that a lot of these people are turning to these more fascist-leaning parties, these nationalistic parties. You know, and I can't help but notice that there's a big rise of nationalism going on right now in Europe.
Well, it's all go according to plan. It's exactly what happened last time, where they're going to blame the immigrants on the economic failings of a system that's being held up by a house of cards, which is fiat money, and that those glory days are over. It's like the Great Gatsby, right? The roaring 2000s are long gone, and now we're heading into our own 30s, and that's what's going on.
Basically, man, and unfortunately, we didn't really talk about it much last show, but there's a lot of, like, with all these banker suicides and the way the stock market is going right now, a lot of it is reminiscent of what happened right before the Great Depression, which is pretty scary.
Well, it's the death of the dollar, and the only thing that can save it is war. So that's what we're looking at. We're looking at either attacking Russia, China, or both, and to reassert the global domination of the dollar. And failing that, it doesn't really matter. If we fight a war and we lose, the elites don't care. All their money's intangible assets anyways. They could care less if one currency or another dies. If it becomes the petro yuan, so be it.
Yeah, because these guys that are orchestrating this whole scheme, they know better than to be vested in a bunch of fiat currency. And let's face it, all the major currencies in the world are all pure fiat. There's no gold-backed major currency. No. So these guys that are manipulating the inflation, and I saw this thing today earlier that apparently bacon prices are up like 12%, and they had all these excuses. You know, of course, it was coming from the mainstream, and they had all these excuses about it, and it was this and it was that and the other thing. But they don't mention the inflation. You know, well, and that's what is really causing this thing. It's all this Federal Reserve action, all this creation of money out of thin air, and that's what's deflating, deflating our purchasing power, inflating the currency, and robbing everybody blind. And the guys at the very top make off like bandits. It's insane.
It's only a robbery because people keep buying into the system. What people should realize is a staggering statistic just came out. It basically said that the 1,300 most wealthy people in the world controlled 94% of the money on paper. So that leaves, 7.2 whatever billion left to fight over 6% of what's there on paper. Now, we know the world's wealth can't really be calculated, yet the governments of the world are $60 billion plus in debt to central banks that, basically do nothing. They really have no purpose at all. So when you have all these billionaires controlling everything and central banks controlling the rest, well, we really, truly, indeed are in a prison planet if we continue along the current economic system. I think Putin and even China to a lesser extent is starting to realize that they are pawns. And if they don't stand up against what's going on, they're going to be no better than me and you would, Nick. I mean, these guys are the wrong country, let alone the wrong ideology. So anybody making, agreements and backdoor deals with the people in charge of the world right now and who are for sure going to go down soon because people are waking up to it, they even realize that their own lives are over as soon as the power and the control is established.
Yeah, man. Apparently, what's his name? Henry Kissinger is going to give a talk at a college, and they have to like keep it secret that he's coming because they know that if people found out he was going to be there, there'd be people there protesting his ass and shunning him and calling him all these names because, like you said, people are becoming aware of what's going on. They're becoming aware of this grand robbery that's been happening ever since at least the 70s. It goes way back to 1913, and it goes way back to even the creation of this country. I mean, the country was created imperfectly. So,
country was created with one specific goal in mind. When they reached the Atlantic shores and they saw nothing but natives in the way of another coast, they realized that, when I say they, I mean the power elite, the people that for six or seven or how many thousands of years these people's families have controlled everything. They realized that the manufacturing base was there to militarily dominate the world. Because once they surveyed the country, they knew what they had, and that's what Manifest Destiny became policy. So the U.S. was always created as a company. It was created as a military endeavor to create a global army for the elites that until now has not reached fruition. And now they believe with their drone army that they have the ability to go above and beyond any human element now.
And again, that's why it's so time sensitive for us to try to oppose this stuff now, because if we don't really push back now, it gets to a point where it's no longer these boneheaded cops in the streets, it's these boneheaded robocops that absolutely have zero conscience, right. And at least cops, man, of course they make bad decisions and they mess up, but you gotta think at least half of them have a conscience. Well, if these are robots programmed to just be indifferent, then, that's a whole nother story.
Well, they will be programmed to be, brutally efficient. And we know that. We know that when we watch the show or the movie Elysium, that's the wet dream for them to go off somewhere else and leave everybody in the muck and the mire here and have robots police us. And, the people up at the top and all their little lackeys and henchmen seem to be fine with that plan. But, eventually people working for them have to understand, even the scientists developing these advanced robotics have to get it, that it's literally homicidal to our race to allow only a small percentage of people control over things that can wipe millions, if not billions, out.
Yeah, man, it's like sooner or later people are going to realize that they're just the peons and this whole thing is just a big scheme. And it's just like the statistics you mentioned earlier, 1,300 people controlling like 95% of the world's assets on paper. I mean, it's just insane. And like we're working with the other 5-6%, the scraps, you know. Right. And like what we were talking about at the beginning with Ukraine, with this rise of nationalism. Now we also see it here, where we see these people. And let's face it, it's mostly these Fox News watching Republicans that are basically blame the economy on immigration, and then they say that we need to deport all these people, and somehow that's going to fix the economy, when that's like a total distraction. I mean, under a real market condition, immigration is awesome for your economy.
Well, there's no fixing the economy. I mean, people don't seem to get that more people and less jobs means a worse economy. We're not going to have more jobs. We're not traditional jobs, not labor-based jobs, which is doing things machines are rapidly replacing. We're going to have to create careers and passions for people to follow. You know, the only alternative is that we have a whole bunch of people making money for free and doing nothing. And the only option then is basically to pay them to sterilize themselves. I can't see any other way the government would allow something like that to happen. But getting beyond that, we're going to have robots doing all this stuff. And the people that really want to create a better society, you're going to have to become, you know, creative and highly educated. This is where, like I've said for many, many a show, that now is the time when we're in the middle of a social upheaval and when our economy is about to crash to smithereens. And the heavy-handed sociopaths in charge will try to create a martial law, you know, Hunger Game type scenario. We can fight back by saying, listen, just common human decency says the economy cannot support 330 plus million people with our resource base and the fact that we're automated. So we need free education and we need free rooms, free food, free water, free healthcare. All that stuff needs to be subsidized. And we can cut our defense budget down to a third of what it is now and still outspend everyone. And we're so far ahead anyway. What does it matter?
Yeah, man. I mean, if the assets were run correctly, and I think that's kind of the way that Switzerland runs their government, is, you know, instead of spending a bunch of money on defense, they just spend it on a bunch of, like, you know, social programs. And that's actually how the country would be if it weren't for the fact that we have this gigantic, bloated military-industrial complex. Now, is that system perfect? No, because, of course, you have this huge bureaucratic problem, which is why, like, eventually you want to get totally away from government altogether if you can, you know. But let's face it, we're on the wrong side of this fascist uprising in Europe, man. And this comes down to a time where we're gonna really face some consequences if we don't really wake up and realize and get people to realize that the government that we're supporting over there in Ukraine is, dude, these guys are pretty extreme, man. They're pretty nationalistic, fascist typed parties of people. And there was a leaked tape, which was leaked on RT. So obviously it was a Russian tap. It was a phone that was tapped by the Russians. But it was basically Tymoshenko, which is the former leader of Ukraine back before the last revolution that they had. That was back in the 90s or something like that. And it was back just in the 2000s, I believe, actually. And she was basically saying that it's time to grab guns and kill all the damn Russians. And she even said, right, like, we should nuke them.
Which is laughable, because could you imagine the response from Russia to even one leaving Kiev or wherever their military base would try to fire it to wherever it would try to fire it to? I mean, I don't know how many nukes Ukraine has, but I think Russia's got, you know, from what I've been able to read, they're not all that far behind us, really, in tech. Maybe just in a few key parts. So, you know, the military-industrial complex has its own name over there. I can't remember what it was, but they push as well and have lobbyists that go to the Kremlin and make things happen. So, man, that they would wipe them off the map. Like it would be like if, I don't know, Mexico attacked us or something. It would be wiped off the map same day.
Yeah, and see, so we have, like, once again, it's like this double-sided beast, where just like in World War II, it was the Nazis, and then you had Stalin on the other side, which neither one is really a good option, but you gotta side with one of them.
Right.
You know, and apparently this time around, we are siding with the fascists in Europe and the rising nationalist sentiment. You know, and people in this country are falling for it too. And like the statistics show, a large percentage of the wealth and the capitalized assets are owned by a very, very few amount of people. And for people to blame the economy on immigration and things like that, it just doesn't make any sense.
Well, no, we need to transition. We're in post-scarcity in this country. We really, truly are. Regardless of how the weather changes, we have the technology, the resources, and we have the know-how to be able to persevere, as well as Canada, our partner in the North, and other key allies. We're going to be all right, and we can actually lead the rest of the world into the new economy, which is going to be self-sufficiency. The UN, if it has any purpose whatsoever, needs to be spearheading that instead of trying to get this Agenda 21 megalopolis. Let's cram everyone in these cities and ship food into them. The opposite needs to happen, because otherwise we're going to have mass genocides. And if that's what they want and the people understand that, we need to boot all these crazy guys out of the top anyway. But in the meantime, people need to get – you need to spread out. These big giant cities, these, like me and you live, Nick, I mean, we ship everything, pipe it all in. If there's one hiccup, there'd be a million people dead in a week, because there'd be a food riot and shortage and pandemonium. And it just can't persist, because we know the centralization of all these key utilities eventually will be cut for political purposes. We know that.
Yeah, and it's not by coincidence, and they didn't accidentally end up in control of these huge grids that they use to control the food, water, electricity, all that stuff. It was by design. I mean, that's Henry Kissinger right there. That's one of his quotes.
That's actually Thomas Edison, who decided that we'll run on a fossil fuel-based system, when Tesla already had this free energy system in the 1880s, and said, hey, guess what? Government and royalty and all the other secret society power structures, I'm a lowly guy who likes to rip off other patent holders. Make me a billionaire, and I'll show you how we can condense all this power these people will get addicted to, since it's so cheap and it's a lot easier than going out and cutting firewood and all that other stuff.
There was an article I read today about this electricity co-op that was going up in Wisconsin.
Right.
It was a community citizen-owned solar panel co-op. You know, and these things are popping up all over the place, because people are starting to realize, look, it's time to start to decentralize our electricity. They get it. People are like, okay, well, either we can be like these guys on TV, like these doomsday preppers, and go out and spend thousands of dollars and stuff, or we can make some like real life changes. And I'm not saying not to do either one or do both, but I think a little bit of both is better, you know. And so you can make some real life changes in your neighborhood, start a community garden. I went to a workshop this weekend about community gardening and how they organize them and stuff. And I mean, dude, you could turn just one of your neighbor's yards into a community garden, man. It's like you can do micro gardening and stuff like that.
Yep.
So
basically, sorry to interrupt you, Nick, but just from what I've researched about this ECT, which is this co-op, up in Wisconsin, which literally you can kind of spread anywhere in the country, they're talking about how they're selling this solar garden, which is going to produce a whole bunch of kilowatts. And members can come in and buy up to 5 panels at $13.50 each. And it'll run, you know, it'll run back to the grid, and you'll get paid off of that. That's an investment. And if enough people get into this, we're going to kill these big giant power companies little by little by little, as we buy up these plots of land and throw these solar panel gardens on here and just pump it back to the grid. And these guys have to keep paying out paychecks to all these initial investors. Think about this. These power companies may become profit neutral at some point, which would be just hilarious.
Yeah, man. There was a guy in I forget where he was at. He was somewhere in the Midwest, over near in that area by Wisconsin, Chicago, you know, Illinois, in that area. But what they were doing in his community is they already had a energy co-op, And they were taking the energy and turning it into like these rebate like certificates basically, and like using it as a local town currency. It was pretty awesome, and it was basically a currency based on the electricity grid.
Right, and think about this, Nick. Even more into research. I found out that the average return is 5 to 5.5%, and that's for life. This is the safest, best investment ever. The sun's not going anywhere. It's never going to stop shining. These solar panels have a minimum of a 20-year lifespan and probably really can go about 30. At 5 to 5.5%, you're going to make your money back like no problem. I mean, in 7 years, that solar panel's paid off, and then from there on, it's smooth sailing, pure profit.
Yeah, it's an awesome opportunity to invest the money and then also benefit from the power that's coming out of it. And then what you're doing is you're cutting out the corporate process too, which is just another middleman. If you want to talk about it economically, I mean, think of it. It's buying direct. It's direct. It's actually your power of, you know, things that you own that are producing it. So you're not paying anybody. Right. It's yours. You don't have to pay for it.
The individual can now sell nature to other lazy consumers, people that would rather stay completely in grid. You know, the sheeple, so to speak. But we can get in on this action now. They can't tax the sun. They can't tax windmill power. They try to make collecting rain, you know, illegal because it's against the common good and it depletes the water table. But honestly, they can't do anything about these evaporative technologies that pull out of the air. So you can make power and water. And of course, when you have those two, you can of course grow food. So these little hedge startup farm/solar farms and all these other things that are cropping up in the land of the free, we're going to take it back. That's the easiest way to do it.
Exactly, man. It's not a matter of like – it's a matter of doing – you know, hitting these obstacles from every angle. You know, like there's – obviously there's people that choose to go the political route and the legislative route, you know, and I know people that do that. And then there's people that go about spreading information, and there's people that go about building like new systems that end up replacing the old stuff because the old stuff is highly inefficient and highly dysfunctional, and it's a rigged game, you know. It's a regressive game. So,
and it's directly leading to things like Venezuela, which right now is on fire because their entire economy is based off of a fossil fuel that's in one lagoon for them. And whoever controls the municipalities around said lagoon and Caracas basically controls that country and has a hegemony on all of the real wealth coming in there. And if they had some kind of solar divestment, the people there could make their own power and not have to pay the state and not give the state power because the state controls everything through subsidizing their own oil that the people are supposed to own. So you have those kind of things happening where getting off of this fossil fuel racket as much as we can little by little is going to end. I mean, so many things conflict-wise worldwide because it's always almost always about energies.
So they're putting out this packet from this community gardening workshop that I went to this weekend. They're putting out a packet, and it's going to go on the internet. You can print it out. You can, you know, do whatever with it. That basically gives you all the tools you need to start a community garden wherever you're at. And I'm thinking like if we can work with these solar co-ops and work together with them and work to promote this stuff and like try to go open source with it where you just provide like a platform, like a blueprint on how to do it, you know, how to go about forming the co-op, how to go about buying the solar panels, all this stuff. And we can just put it out there for communities to just pick it up and then see it and then show it to their neighbors and then use it if they like it. You know what I mean? Just put together an open source blueprint. Look, this is what you need. This is where these are the solar panels you need. This is where you can buy them. This is how you build it. This is how you form a co-op. This is how you try to get people to join it. You know, how awesome would that be, man? And we can send it out all over the world and all of a sudden you see all these co-op solar panel energy utilities that are locally owned and locally run.
I mean, these in turn drive evaporative water condensers, so you get water and power all for free, you know, wherever that may be. I mean, you can talk about a little tribe in the middle of nowhere with 50 people, and if as long as they had a nice solar farm with enough condensers, they're good.
Yeah, I mean, they would literally it would literally be like an oasis because you're creating water out of you know, what those condensers do is they basically take air and they condense it and take the moisture out of it, turn it into water.
Right, and all they need is a steady, you know, whatever it is, amperage, and it's not even all that much because they themselves can run off a single panel. So if you had a solar farm, you could have many, many condensers, and they each make about a gallon a day. And that's enough for a person. So 50 people, 50 condensers, 50 solar panels, and another couple hundred for making energy for the rest of the community, and you build around those farms and have actual farms outside those homes. And it would work perfectly. This is the Venus Project, essentially. This is where we're talking about having in the future, these irrigated super cities where they make water out of thin air and power out of the sun.
Yeah, man. And then you go back to turning this thing into a, turning the electricity grid into a currency as well.
Yep.
You know, so whenever, basically, all right, so you know how when you produce more electricity than you use, it goes back into the grid, right?
Right.
Now, instead of what you can do is turn that extra electricity into rebates, like an energy rebate, which is worth you know whatever amount the energy is worth, and then those can be traded. So you basically just at that point alone, you're creating a new currency, you know. So I mean, with energy, which obviously is probably one of the most important things required for life to sustain on this planet, with easily accessible energy, democratic energy, then you can, you know, almost anything is possible.
Yep, and you know what's funny is then you'd have this financial incentive that would be real and in your pocket as far as getting in shape, go home and ride an exercise bike, throw it back into the grid and get checks in the mail, and then watch yourself also get, you know, some kind of lowering on your healthcare deductibles and things of that nature. You know, we could play all kinds of social games to do good and get ourselves off grid and away from these super crazy guys that are in control of these things that we just no longer really have to have. We don't need them anymore. We got to work around them and come up with novel ways to do that and heal society using our brains, not following these rulers anymore. There's just no point to it.
Think of these kids that are going to be in these neighborhoods where they're building co-ops and these kids that are natural engineers start, you know, helping.
Yep.
You know, and I'm a huge believer in kids being the ones that are going to have the next big ideas, because kids have a fresh mind. They're not as brainwashed as the rest of us, and they got a huge imagination. So I think I've been seeing all these videos about these kids, 14, 15, 12-year-old kids that are like coming up with these crazy good ideas, you know, to clean like the whole ocean and all kinds of stuff, man. You know, so yeah. Once we're able to come up with a way, just like with these energy co-ops, to get education like fixed, because let's face it, like we spend more money now than we've ever spent on education federally. Yet we're ending up with worse and worse performance like every
year.
Because
it's no longer about education. It's about indoctrination. It's been that way since, let's face it, No Child Left Behind began the stupefaction of our youth. And now with this Common Core, which, by the way, Indiana today decided they're going to vote to opt out of it, which will only start a firestorm of every non-Southern state to do the same. Because why would you want to lower our kids to the lowest common denominator? We do need, you know, average. We need gifted. We need super gifted. We need a little slower. It's not so bad to divide people into where they need to learn and to progress. You know what I mean? And certain people do have things like learning differences, which they need to be in another kind of class, which allows them to, you know, basically create their own curriculum, because they're not going to learn from others very well. So there's so many ways that the Department of Education already fails so horrifically that it just doesn't serve much purpose except for indoctrination. If you really want your child to get a good education, he's already going to private school if you can afford it. And if you can't, you're seriously thinking about homeschooling if you know what the hell's going on in these schools nowadays.
I wonder what would happen if you had a school that was run by kids.
I mean, you would see it would be – first of all, Google would fund it, because it would be using their services to educate the children. But with all of the YouTube videos and all of the textbooks available and all of the college libraries and free courses, and I mean, could you imagine 18-year-olds teaching 6-year-olds that are in first grade? And this all being – it would be something to see, man. It would be an interesting experiment to try.
It would be pretty cool, man. I saw a paper the other day coming from, I believe it was in New Zealand, where they at recess, they used to have like all these strict rules and stuff. And they decided, okay, there's going to be no more rules at recess. And what actually happened was the kids – there was less incidents of kids getting hurt. And there were, and the kids' like anxiety levels and all that stuff, and like their everything else, like went through the roof because they were able to do whatever they wanted at recess. And then also, what they showed was that the amount of bullying went way down as well.
Yep, I mean it would. That's the thing, is that kids, when they start to basically assume leadership roles, much like the Stanford experiment, but we're not going to put it into that extreme, but we will allow them to police themselves. You know, the only reason why people have the whole bully mentality is because they know that they will be protected by the administration of the school. Now, what were to happen if that's not the case? Say a guy bullied somebody, and now everybody in the school is like, wait. This guy's kind of a little bit of a, you know, psychopath. Maybe we should teach him a lesson before he gets too brazen. I mean, societies do these things. They self-correct. The reason police exist is because there's economic disparity. If there were none, no police would be needed. It's simply to protect the ruling class. It's never about anything else. And people will self-police if given the option, opportunity, and you don't have a bunch of crazy people in there. You know, we're assuming these are normal people.
Yeah, man, exactly. It's like it's like you know, if it weren't for the fact that we have such economic disparity and so many people that are poor and so many people that – like I was talking the other day with my buddy about the drug war. I mean this – the drug war, it flies in the face of everything that is supposedly the American way. I mean the people that sell drugs are the bottom level entrepreneurs, man. These are people that are thinking outside the box. And they're making a way for themselves, especially because a lot of them come from poor areas that are – they're squeezed out of the regular economy. So they're forced underground. Most drug dealers aren't dealing drugs. Like they don't plan on doing it as a career. They're trying to make a little bit of money to get themselves and start a business or something like that, you know. So right. The war on drugs, the fact that they're locking up all these people, and in reality, they're just entrepreneurs. They're black market entrepreneurs. They're not drug dealers. They're just entrepreneurs like any other business. It's just that the government says that they're illegal. So unfortunately, if they get caught doing it, they go to prison, you know, which adds a whole nother dimension to the whole, to what's going on. But, you know, the fact is, they're trying to suppress all of the innovators, all the people that are thinking outside the box. And that kind of leads right up to this last point I want to make before we bring Nick in from Health Conspiracy Radio about Feinstein. And she's pushing forward this journalism shield law. I don't know if you've heard about this thing, but
yep.
Basically it's like the government reacting to the government's own actions. So, you know, we all remember that the government got caught. They were spying on the AP phone calls or whatever, the Associated Press phone calls, because they were trying to find out who the source was of this information that was leaked. And when this was made public, there was a huge outcry. And so now Feinstein's like, oh, well, Feinstein's taking it upon herself, just like she did after Sandy Hook. She's like, oh, we got to protect these journalists. So because she's like, the government did bad, so now even though I'm the government, I'm gonna fix what we did bad. You know, it just doesn't make any sense. It's like the government trying to self-police itself.
Well, yeah, and there's no citizen watch group with any teeth at all.
And basically, it provides protections as long as you're a corporate journalist. So if you're a corporate journalist, they're not going to be able to take you and put you in jail if you don't want to reveal your sources. But if you're an independent journalist and you don't get paid for your work, or you're a social media blogger or whatever, if they want you to reveal your source and you say no, guess what? You're going to jail or possibly even prison.
Right, and the workaround's always just going to be incorporate, and many independent journalists are going to get together and drop the $50 it's going to take and put in, you know, of course, this is also what they want is so they can get these lists going too, but we will have protections and we'll get things passed to protect us.
Then then also it's compliance, you know?
Right, it's compliance, but we play the game or we don't. Either we believe in the system or we don't. If we don't, it's anarchy and we come up with something else new. But the thing is, what? And so we come to some kind of consensus, and that really does mean waiting out this freaking too long living generation that just will not get past all of the government propaganda they absorb their whole lives. You know, once basically the baby boomers are out as far as voters, things will start to actually change within the system if we don't have some chaotic collapse before that.
Yeah, man. It's like, I can't tell if it's like one or the other, but it's like the corporations, the mainstream media, they're definitely trying to put the squeeze on us, and we've fended off all these attacks last year, all these attacks on the internet, you know, CISPA and then the NDAA and all this stuff. Now they're trying to ram through this other legislation that's going to screw all the independent media. They're calling it the Journalist Shield Law. They're acting like it's a good thing. And apparently the votes are already there in the Senate to get this thing passed. Now, I mean, at this point, we're relying on the House. We're relying on the Republican-dominated House to pass this thing. And you think Fox News doesn't want to put the hammer down on independent journalists? I think they do. So, you know, we're going to be facing a tough battle on this thing. And it could, like you were saying, I mean, we could all sign up and start to try to get paid for the work we do. But, you know, some people may not fall under those categories, man. And there's like some – it's like, okay, well, you have to have been getting – you have to have been working as a journalist for at least 1 year for this law to cover you. Or you have to have – in the past 5 years, you have to have worked as a paid journalist for 3 months. Like, I mean, there's like stipulations in this thing that could really nail you, bro. You know, there's like a bunch of loopholes. It's a very broad – very, very broad language. So, I mean, they can probably basically use this law on anybody that they wanted to.
Right, and I'm sure they got the language ironed out, and there'll be loopholes for us too. You know, not every lawyer out there is working for them. A lot of them want to take a piece out of their pie. Like I'm always saying, they always open up their own bag, their own can of worms on themselves by trying to do all this legislation. It's just ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The shield law will shield us. Maybe they'll get us all pigeonholed and go, oh, we know who's an independent. Guess what? Anybody now, right? I mean, think about this. You could write a food blog and somebody could make your recipe and they could sue you because they got food poisoning and you're not protected because the shield law doesn't apply to you.
Exactly. I mean,
you're going to see this upheaval because everybody blogs. Everybody's got a voice. Everybody's into things. Everybody comments. It's going to be everything you comment. And too, everything, it'll be so broad-based. When people learn this stuff, they're just not going to allow – I can't imagine they allow it. I mean, imagine when you start posting things on your Facebook and you get copyright infringement fines of $5,000 or more.
Hey, so
how long would it last?
We have Nick Brannigan on the line now from Health Conspiracy Radio, and I think what we're talking about right now kind of can be a bit concerning for you as well as it is for me. But I don't know if you heard about this Journalism Shield Law. Do you know anything about it?
Hey guys, yeah, I've heard about it, and I just kind of my attitude these days is just give a big middle finger to these laws. I don't care about them. For the most part, it's good to talk about them, good to pay attention to them, but I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to let some silly little law from the federal government dictate my ability to pass along information.
Exactly, man. That's like, you know, that's what we need to do on a massive scale. We need to get people to do that, and I think we're actually seeing that. I'm pretty sure that's what we're going to see with this Obamacare thing, where there's just not going to be enough young people that sign up. And this thing is just going to I forget what they called it, something about these premiums, like a premium suicide dive or whatever, where like the premiums just start skyrocketing because not enough young people are paying into the system. And it's all the people that basically need it are the ones having to pay for it. And then it's just all the premiums go insane and then it just collapses. But I think that's what we're seeing is we're just seeing a lot of people that are just like, you know what, I'm not going to join this thing. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I cover this on my show tomorrow on Natural News Radio, and that people say, oh, don't publicly say you're not going to sign up for Obamacare. No, now is the time to publicly show our noncompliance, to publicly say, no, Obama or whoever's pulling your puppet strings today, I'm not signing up for your corporate fascist healthcare law, and I'm not going to be threatened and bullied with threats of penalties from the IRS. It's not going to happen. You're not going to force me to buy something that I don't need. I eat organic food. That is my healthcare. So, like I've been saying for the past few weeks, my middle finger is getting tired right now because I'm just holding it up and publicly stating I'm not signing up for your corporate fascist law. It's just not going to happen. And we need everyone to do that. People to say, oh, well, you know, it's just a small penalty. You know, I'll figure out a way not to pay it. But
it's not a small penalty, though. It's like huge. It's up to $4,000 in some cases.
Oh, well, there you go. That's the point where we need to, you know, figure out ways to not pay that. You know, stay out of jail, do it as legally as possible. But, you know, what it comes down to, something being legal and lawful doesn't mean that it's ethically okay. So when it comes to Obamacare, when it comes to these journalism laws, you know, they can I don't know how to say it nicely on the radio, but they can get screwed. I'm not doing it. And everyone needs to take this attitude and be vocal about it and be public about it and let them know the power is not in their stupid little pen. The power is in the decisions of the people as individuals. And the more of us as individuals that say, no, we're not going to do this, we're not acquiescing to your stupid laws, the less power that they'll have. And because there is power in going against the system. We all know that. And we need more people to do that. More people to be, follow the lead of Nick Burnaby, more people to write blogs against the system and to do their own radio shows. The more people doing this, the more we help each other out, the quicker the system's going to fall.
Yeah, man. It's like we just got to keep building out these alternatives. And we always talk about it on our show about the whole grid, you know, and there's so many different parts of it. It's the food, the electricity, the water. And it's a way that they can control people. And it's right out of Henry Kissinger's playbook. And it's exactly what he called for. He's like, you know, control the oil and you can control nations, control the food and you can control people. Well, that's exactly what they're doing, but it's not just the oil. Think of it. It's the energy all around. You know, if you can control the energy, if you can cut off the power for one city or cut off the power for one sector, one region, then it's like you can just tell these people what to do and they're going to do it. They're going to be at your whim. There's going to be nothing they can do. So that's why it's so important that we start building out these solutions, these new ideas, like we were talking about earlier about these electricity co-ops that are going up. There's one going up in Wisconsin right now, and it's basically a solar paneling, a solar powered, community co-op, and all the people in the community own like a little part of this solar operation. They all get power from it. It's pretty awesome. But like, these are the steps that we have to take in order to make the current system invalid so that we can unshackle and get all this stuff off of us.
Exactly. We need to become as self-sufficient as possible. Like, I live in Las Vegas, so if resources get cut off tomorrow, we're in trouble. But I like to go into the mind state that, you know, the collapse, if it is going to happen, isn't going to happen tomorrow. It may not even happen for 5, 10, or 20 years. So let's have more of a long-term time frame. I think everyone listening to this right now, there's no reason that in 5 years from today, you're unable to be off the grid with your own power, growing your own food, figuring out some source of water. You know, we all live in different regions. We all got to figure out our own paths. But even out here in Las Vegas, there's homes that are hooked up to well water that have the ability to get off the grid. Because out here, Nevada Energy, who's the main electric company for Clark County, Nevada, is just recently was bought out by Warren Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway.
Rates are going to go up.
Yeah, rates are going to go up. And who wants to give that guy money? And smart meters just got installed on all the apartment complexes where I live. So now they got the system where if you're having financial trouble and you don't have the ability to pay your bill for this month, they don't even send the guy out anymore to physically turn it off. They just hit a couple buttons and a keyboard and your power's off. So everyone should have the goal within the next 5 years to be off of the system as much as possible. Everyone should have the ability to at least grow microgreens inside their home or do an aquaponic system. Everyone has options somewhere where they live where they could get off the grid. And if it's not possible now, start thinking more long term. Where can you be in 5 years as far as getting off of this system as much as possible and being noncompliant and not sending our hard-earned dollars to these companies that are run by Warren Buffett and so on. It's just we need to start maybe thinking a little bit bigger than where we are now and thinking of if you know it, how is it possible instead of thinking that it's impossible, because anything's really possible when we apply ourselves.
Yeah, man, and this I'm gonna try to pull up this link for this this energy co-op going up in Wisconsin. It's a perfect case example of something that's an idea that's working, you know, and it's something that people can already start doing. And there's so many options out there. You mentioned aquaponics, and Dave's been over to my place and saw my aquaponics system, and it's awesome, man. It's like yeah, fish growing if you want to eat them. I'm not personally going to eat my fish just because I kind of got attached to them. But you got fish growing, you got protein, you have your vegetables, your fruit, all that, all your food growing in this garden, and it's very low maintenance. You can easily get this thing off the grid. That's what I'm working on right now with mine. I'm trying to get a little solar paneling kit from shopping around, man. I'm looking on Craigslist and online and stuff. But
Costco,
you know, I'm trying to get
Costco
my...
for $7,000's got like a 6-panel setup, Nick. That would be cheaper than that $1,350 from the solar farms.
Yeah, that's pretty cheap, man. But yeah, it's for me, it's just a little greenhouse. So I don't need very much, so like I couldn't get one of these, you know, $500 kits and like get my whole garden off the grid, you know. And it takes up very little space. It grows all year round. Very little maintenance. I mean, anyone can do it on a small scale. And it's not a matter of, I don't think it's a matter of creating one giant aquaponic warehouse where it feeds the whole world, because then you run into the same problem. It's too few people in control of the whole supply. You know, so if we can keep doing this on the small scale, and just if a million people do it on a small scale, it's the same impact, only better, because it's everything is decentralized and democratized. Then you know, we can have the same impact as it would be like a huge company like Google building a huge food warehouse or something, you know.
Exactly. It's getting together with our local communities and just keeping it small as possible. I'm sure everyone, you know, I hope everyone listens out there listening has at least 5 friends that are reliable. Maybe you can get together and do a plan to where, you know, you have a community garden. Everyone comes and participates. Actually, I do have a friend who just did that. She turned her whole backyard into garden beds, and anyone can come and plant. Anyone that she knows can come and take the food. And that is just a small step. So, you know, we all have this thing where we see this big picture and it seems just so big and intimidating, but what can you do on the small scale? And that's exactly what you're doing, Nick. And that's exactly what anyone can do. And if you don't think you have the resources to do it now, figure out how you get those resources within the next year and start thinking just a little bit bigger than where we are now. And that's how you get off of the system. Because what better way to be independent is there to be than growing your own food? I mean, I shop at local farmers markets, at Trader Joe's, at Whole Foods, but at the end of the day, most of that food's coming in from California. And I'm going to get it set up to where I have food that I can at least eat on a weekly basis, a portion on a weekly basis that I can grow in my own place out here. And everyone should get to that point. That's one way to kind of politely give the system the middle finger, so to speak, and just feeding yourself. Who doesn't have the right to grow their own food and feed themselves?
And exactly, man. It's another one of those rights that I think we need to start flexing, because they're unfortunately, there's a lot of these cities that are taking these people to court over their gardens and their front yards and stuff. So obviously, not enough people are kind of flexing their food rights. And I mean, we all have the right to make use of what it is that we the space that we have. Now, like you were saying earlier about having 5 friends. Now, if almost everybody has at least 5 friends, you know, that's just, I've looked at research about it, and that roughly everyone has 5 friends, right? That's their social network. That's their close group of friends. And between all of these people, I'm sure you could find someone that has a yard that's not being used, or you guys can all pitch in a little bit of money to set up a space to grow some food, you know. And it's a matter of, yeah, if you can't do it on your own, get a few people together. That's a co-op. That's what a co-op really is, you know. If you need 5 people, if you need 20 people, if you need 100 people to get this thing going, I mean, I would, if you start today, there's no telling where you'd be at in 2 months. You could already be halfway there in 2 months.
Yeah, and the side benefit of that is the health of it, because, you know, we're in a situation with things like Fukushima where we all need to be as healthy as possible, where we really need to take the bag of potato chips and just make that really a rare, once in a blue moon, occasional treat, because we need to get as healthy as possible. And there's nothing healthier than having food grown locally where you can harvest it and eat it within the same day or the same few days or the same week. Because even, you know, the organic foods from Whole Foods and the organic foods from, you know, Trader Joe's are a great option. But we got to keep in mind that they're being sprayed with municipal tap water filled with fluoride and rocket fuel and who knows what other carcinogens in there. That doesn't make them not healthy, but compared to what you can grow on your own and really too, the love that goes into growing that actually has an effect on the food and is going to have effect on your mental well-being, knowing that you grew this yourself. This is something that you planted in the ground and it came out. You didn't rely on a massive corporation to do this for you. That's going to up your health, up your immune system. So if the environment does get more toxic, if Fukushima does affect the area where you live, or they're spraying chemtrails every day, you're going to have the healthiest food possible, to where you have a strong immune system and you can thrive in this toxic environment that we live in.
Yeah, man, I think we wanted to after you mentioned the Fukushima, that reminded me, we wanted to get into that because there's not only is it Fukushima hitting the West Coast and you know, other, it's still blowing over and getting other parts of the country as well. But apparently there's this big nuclear leak going on right now in New Mexico. And, you know,
they may evacuate the entire area around Albuquerque, and that's a pretty big city, and an evacuation of that kind is just going to really put the nail in the coffin on the nuclear industry, I think. That's why they're trying not to let the cat out of the bag. But trying to get 1 million people out of an area, that's good luck.
Yeah, that's just insane. And I don't know really enough about the nuclear industry to comment on it, but I think it's time to kind of move into other options as well. And that's why you really need to be as healthy as possible. That's why, you know, I kind of use the term health conspiracy overall, because if a nuclear plant blows up, it's not necessarily a conspiracy. But when you're eating garbage every day, all day, like I go to the local Smith's, which is owned by Kroger's, just to buy some organic product there to show the management that keep loading your store with this, but you see what people put in their grocery store. If something ever happens to where the air is poisoned through a nuclear leak or some, you know, some other type of disaster, these people are done. You know, all the frozen pizzas in the world aren't going to do their immune system any favors. But that's when, you know, live foods come in, organic foods come in, foods that have the least amount of carcinogens and contaminants as possible, and having, you know, a strong mental attitude in these hard times is really what we need, not just to survive, but to thrive and to get to the next level of humanity. Because as monstrous as the system seems, it's really what we do on the individual level that makes the difference. We can go to the voting booths and give our power away to the next puppet in office, be it even if it's a Rand Paul or Ted Cruz. But at the end of the day, what we do is what matters, not what Republican we vote for, or Democrat we vote for, or independent we vote for. What we're doing on the individual basis is going to determine the quality of our lives, and I think overall determine where we go in this world.
I think it's like an attitude that we have to like take back, you know, and it's an attitude that we lost. I don't know when or where, or perhaps we never even had it.
Well, the media killed it. And it brings me into something that I wanted to talk with Nick about, which I read a lot. I read some of your blog, Nick, and something that cracked me up was how obvious people are trolling. Literally paid government agents are out there controlling the hearts and minds of hapless individuals through the media. Now that they've basically burned all the bridges as far as TV goes, they're sabotaging public forums in every other way they can, because they lost the easy and they lost the low-hanging fruit with this new generation. But now I see people taking Reddit as doctrine, and I'm like, you can't. The guys on there commenting, half of them don't even exist. They're just they're paid agents.
Oh, and it's documented. The NSA, you know, Edward Snowden leaked some of the information, and the other guy that leaked some information, I can't remember his name, but he leaked some information about the sock puppets, and the guy that published that information is dead now. which was Michael Hastings, the journalist that, that published that stuff about the sock puppets. Mm. So, yeah, man, I mean, it's actually totally documented that these guys are, they have paid shills on the internet going around trying to hijack threads and disrupt forums and things like that. And they, you know, they find hotspots of where like legitimate information is being, you know, communicated and worked on. And then they try to disrupt this stuff to try to slow everyone down, send people in different directions. I don't know if you saw that one. There was one that came out the other day from Snowden where basically they showed these fake UFO photos that the agents would use. They would post these photos and use it to like disrupt and hijack discussions, like legit discussions about UFOs. They would post these fake pictures and with hopes to like hijack the discussions.
I didn't see that one in particular, but these – like this is what people need to understand. These are actually paid government trolls doing this. And the post you're referring to, Dave, I believe it's how to properly deal with the Monsanto troll at healthconspiracy.com.
Right.
If everyone goes to the website and reads that conversation, it's hilarious the way I talk to this guy.
Oh, yeah.
I was just having fun with them. But what I realized 90 minutes later when I ended that dialogue is that the number one thing they do, and you said this, Nick, is they want to disrupt what you're doing. They want to take your energy and attention away from creating content and getting people's attention and waking people up and getting to an argument what exactly a GMO is or if GMOs are good or bad. And it all they do – and this guy, like, he was really nasty towards me. And the nastier he got, the more I realized that I was really doing a good job at not getting into the little silly argument he wanted to get into. And he told me to kill myself and said non-GMO activists are just below pedophiles. And it was really – and my responses to him were just, you know, I had a good time posting them. And that's really how we need to treat these little turds sitting in their mother's basement eating Hot Pockets getting paid by the government, is we need to treat them like the clowns that they are. Don't take anything they say serious. And yeah, after I ended the conversation with him, he went on like five other videos and just started making random idiotic comments. So I actually had to block – this dude from my channel. But what some people need to realize is that they are there to waste our time. So the best thing we need to do is either laugh at them and make a blog post out of it, or just, you know, block them from the page and ignore them, because we don't really have time for this. You know, you guys, I'm sure you're as busy as me or busier than me. You know, we need to create content that engages people and let these trolls, you know, do what they got to do, and just ignore them or laugh at them is really the best solution for it. But don't, this is really what I see in the non-GMO movement, and nothing against, you know, mothers or women, but what a lot of these women in the non-GMO movement do is they get emotional and they want to argue with them, and they'll argue to the point to where their emotions get the better of them, and they'll end up saying something stupid that the troll will get all over and invite his other troll friends to just pounce on this person. And we need to cut that out. Just stop that. Either make fun of them and have some fun, or just ignore them and block them from your channel. But just be aware that it's out there too, and don't get distracted by the dumb stuff.
Yeah, man. I mean, they totally bully. They totally go by a group consensus. So if they can get enough trolls on there, you know, changing the sides, like they'll be able to create a false consensus just because there's two or three trolls there trying to bash on one person. You know, they'll be bullying people and stuff like that. And yeah, you can't spin your wheels trying to deal with the trolls, because that's all you end up doing is just spinning wheels, you know. And that's exactly what they want us to do. So when there are trolls, you know, the best thing you can do is not let it get under your skin. I mean, that's the first thing you got to know, is like, don't let it get under. And then, you know, you have to understand a troll is a troll. And if it's a person posting valid information and they're just very, you know, upfront about it or whatever, that's one thing. But another thing is these paid trolls, man. And these kind of people have to be looked out for. It's documented that they exist. And it's just, you know, it's not something that it will help any group. You know, it's not like adding to the discussion or anything. It's just totally hijacking.
Exactly. And the best thing you do is just make fun of them. Like even Vicky LaPage, the girl that does the street activism videos with me, she had someone trolling on her account saying fluoride was good. And she said, what do I do? And I just commented to the dude. And this was a real guy. But still, the point is, you know, why are you trying to convince me that fluoride is good? So I just commented. I said, hey, John, or whatever his name was, get a bag of fluoride and just snort it. We'll have a fluoride party at your house, and anyone that wants to come can come party with you, John. And then he said something else, and I just started chanting USA in all the comments, and he went away. And that's how you deal with idiots.
Hey, Nick, drop your links real quick before the show ends here.
Oh, sure. The main website is healthconspiracy.com, where I post all the video stuff, and my radio show is at naturalnewsradio.com. And we air Tuesdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific time.
Thanks, man.
Hey, thank you guys for having me on.
See you guys Wednesday.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go.